Thank you for listening to this sermon from Hope Church, Toronto West. It is our prayer that through these audio sermons, you are challenged and transformed by the Word of God, built up in love and faith, and drawn more to the person and work of Jesus Christ. Now, as you prepare your heart to receive God's Word, we pray that His Spirit would use the sermon powerfully in your life.
My name is Nathan Penny. I'm one of the pastors over at Hope Oakville, and it is such a privilege, such an honor to be here with you today to open up God's Word. And speaking of God's Word, if you've got a copy of God's Word with you, if you've got a Bible there today, please go ahead and open it up to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, and we'll begin at verse 15. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15. And as you turn there, let me ask you, have you ever been in a situation with someone that you love and you are pleading with them to do something that is for their own good? Maybe it was a friend or a family member, maybe a child, and you're pleading with them to listen to you and to do something that is actually in their best interest. To do something that was for their own good. Maybe it was something with regard to their health, or maybe something with regard to their well-being, and you're pleading with them. You're saying, please listen to me, please, for your own good. Please hear me and do what I say, please. Maybe you can think of a time like that. Because that's what's happening today in Ephesians chapter 4. But this time it's God, and He's speaking to us today through His Word. And He's saying, listen to me for your own good. Listen to me and do what I say. And today we're going to hear from the heart of our good and perfect Father saying to us today, this is what you need. This is the way, my child. Walk in it. And to help us understand what God is saying to us today, He has given us an analogy. He's given us a picture to help us to understand. And here's the picture. It's the picture of a head and a body, where Jesus Christ is the head and we are the body. And the body is made up of all of these different parts that have been specially designed by God to do different things. And when each part is doing what it's supposed to do, what it's been designed to do, then the body is healthy and the body thrives. And this picture of a body is so helpful for us. I mean, consider it. The human body literally has trillions of cells. It has 206 bones. It has over 600 muscles. It has 78 internal organs. And as each part works properly, it affects all of the other parts. It positively affects all of the other parts. When just one part is working properly, that one part helps all of the other parts to work properly. I mean, you can just consider the idea of taking a drink. If I'm going to take a drink, if I'm going to grab a glass of water, then the bones in my arm needs to remain intact. The muscles in my arm need to contract properly. The tendons in my hand need to work so that I can grab hold of that glass and then bring it to my mouth and drink. And as I drink that water, it's not just my arm that gets blessed, but my whole body is blessed and hydrated as a result of the activity of my arm. Likewise, when each part of the body of Christ is working properly, then each part will positively affect every other part, helping the whole body to be healthy and to thrive. So that's the positive side. But of course, there's also a negative side. So consider again this analogy of the human body. What if one part of the body isn't working properly? That's how we end up at the doctors. That's how we end up at the hospital. What if several parts of the body aren't working properly? What if many, many parts of the body aren't working properly? Well, then that body won't be healthy, and that body will not thrive. Likewise, when the parts of the body of Christ are not working properly, it affects the health of the whole body, and the body does not thrive as it should. So, question. If you are here today, saved in Jesus Christ, if you are part of the body, are you working properly? Is your life being used by God right now in this season we find ourselves in to bring health and to bring blessing to the body of Christ? Or truth be told, are you currently sitting on the sidelines? Because listen, if you are saved in Jesus Christ, if you are part of the body of Christ, then here's the truth. You have tremendous potential in Christ to be powerfully used right now in this season, to produce a ripple effect of blessing throughout the body of Christ. Let me say that again. You have tremendous potential in Jesus Christ to be powerfully used right now in this season we find ourselves in, to produce a ripple effect of blessing throughout the body of Christ. Here's what I mean up on the screen. If you consider a body of water. Now, what happens in a body of water when there is a sudden surge of activity? What happens? Well, here's what happens. There is a ripple effect. There are waves that then extend outward in every direction, far and wide. And so it is in the body of Christ. When one part works properly, it sends a ripple effect throughout the body. It sends a domino effect. It creates a chain reaction where one person influences another person who influences another person who influences another person. Now imagine if that's not just happening for one part of the body, but imagine if it's happening for many up on the screen. Imagine if the body looked like this, where every part is working properly, creating ripple effects of blessing everywhere, from all sides, all throughout the body of Christ. Imagine if this was Hope Toronto West. Listen, in many ways it is. Praise God. Praise God. But by God's grace, it can be all the more. Is that true? And so here's the truth. Ready? In this season right now, if you and I are going to be used to send ripple effects of blessing throughout the body of Christ, here's the first thing that needs to happen. Here it is. We all need to keep growing. That's point number one. If we are going to be used to send ripple effects of blessing throughout the body of Christ, each part of the body needs to keep growing. So here's the question. Am I growing? Am I moving forward? Am I growing? Well, have a look at verse 15. Paul says this. He says, rather, and let's stop right there. Because by saying that word rather, what Paul is doing is he's referring back to what he's already said in Ephesians chapter 4. So let's back up actually to verse 11. And let's find out what Paul is talking about. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. Paul says this, and he, that's God, he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and the teachers to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, for building up the body of Christ until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that, notice this, we may no longer be children, tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness in deceitful schemes. So here's what Paul is saying. He's saying that all of us together in the body of Christ, we must grow up. We must grow up so that we are no longer spiritual children. Because if we remain spiritual children, we will be easily deceived by lies, and we will be carried away into very, very, very dangerous places. Because here's the truth. Whether we recognize it or not, every day, you and I are living under a constant barrage of lies. Lies from the sin within us. Lies from the world around us. Lies from the demonic. Lies from false teachers. And what are these lies about? Literally everything. Everything. Lies about God. Lies about us. Lies about other people. Lies about our circumstances are coming at us from all sides like waves of arrows every single day. And if we're not careful, if we're not holding up the shield of faith, if we are forgetful of what God says in His Word, then those lies can so easily penetrate the heart, enter into the heart, and we can be carried away into very, very, very dangerous places. And so what does that look like when lies enter into the heart? Well, it looks like this up on the screen. When lies enter our heart about God, lies like God doesn't care, or God isn't good, or God is far away, or God doesn't love you, or God isn't enough for you, which can lead us to places of confusion and anxiety and anger and despair. Very dangerous places to be. Or how about this up on the screen? When lies enter the heart about ourselves, about our identity in Christ, lies like, you're a loser. You're not good enough. You are unacceptable. You don't have any purpose. Leads us to places of shame, insecurity, fear, just feeling like giving up. A very dangerous place to be. Or how about this up on the screen? When lies enter the heart about other people in the church, lies like other people think you're a loser, other people think you're a joke, other Christians, they think you don't matter, leads us to places of further isolation and anxiety and anger and despair. Very dangerous place to be. Or when lies enter the heart about our circumstances up on the screen, lies like our circumstances are totally out of control. No one's on the throne. I'm in a spiraling chaos. Or lies like, this situation is just way too hard. I can't make it through even with God's help. This is impossible. Which can lead us to places of anger, confusion, feelings of being trapped, despairing. Again, a very, very dangerous place to be. This is what happens when lies enter into the heart, lies from sin, lies from the world around us, lies from the demonic, but then also this, lies from false teachers who abound in our day, who twist the scriptures, who preach gospels of salvation by works or false gospels of health, wealth, and prosperity, who lead people far away from the truth of the Bible. Who lead people far away from the truth of who God is and what He has done and what He has promised and what He has commanded. Who lead people far away from any foundation of truth whatsoever. A very dangerous place to be. But because God loves us so much, and because He loves His glory so much, He has made a beautiful way for all of us to escape from the grip of all deception. And here's how. Look back at verse 15. Ephesians 4, verse 15, look what Paul says. He says, rather, speaking the truth, this is God's plan for you and I to fight against the lies of sin and the lies of the world and the lies of the demonic and the lies of false teachers. It's you and I speaking the truth to each other. And when Paul uses that term, speaking the truth, he's not talking about say the hard thing. Sometimes when we use that phrase, speaking the truth, we mean like you gotta say the hard thing. And sometimes we do need to say the hard thing. But in the context of Ephesians 4, that's not what Paul is talking about. When Paul is saying, speaking the truth, what he means is speaking the truth of the Bible, speaking the truth of the Word of God. We could think of it this way up on the screen. He's talking about speaking the truth of the four W's. What are the four W's? Well, we need to speak the truth about who God is. We need to speak that to each other, that God is light, he is life, he is awesome, he is holy, he is perfect, he is love. We need to speak that to each other. We need to speak the truth of what God has done in the gospel, that Christ died to bring us to God. We need to speak the truth about what God has promised us, that he will never leave us, he will never forsake us, he will always be everything we need in every situation. We need to speak that to one another. And we need to speak the truth about what God has commanded. He's commanded us to love him with everything we have, to love each other, to love our neighbor as ourselves, to live for his glory. You and I, we need to speak these truths to each other, the truths of the Bible. So here's the question. How do we become a people like that? How do we become a people who are speaking the truth to each other? Well, there's only one way. If you and I are going to be speaking the truth to each other, we first need to be filled with the truth. Because when you are filled with the truth, that's when you will speak the truth. You think of it like this, like if you put a sponge into a sink full of water and the sponge saturates with the water and you lift it up out of the sink and it's dripping all over the counter, drips all over you, drips all over the floor. Likewise, if you take your heart and you saturate it in the Word of God and your heart gets filled up with the Word of God, then the Word of God starts to come out of your mouth. You can't help it. And this is what Paul longs to see in the Ephesian church, that they would be a people who are filled with the truth and therefore speak the truth to each other. And that's why Paul begins his letter to the Ephesians with a whole ocean of gospel truth that is intended to fill the hearts of his readers so they will be a people who speak the truth to one another. Here's a sample of that up on the screen from Ephesians 1 and 2. First, he says that God has blessed us with every spiritual blessing. So every possible conceivable way that God could bless you spiritually, he has done that. Maybe thinking, well, like what? Well, like the rest of this list. How about this? God chose us from before he created the world. Before God created anything, he chose you. If you are in Christ, he chose you. How about this? God ordained that we would be holy and blameless before him. Listen. No one is entering into the presence of God unless you are holy and blameless. But we're sinful. So how do we enter into the presence of God? Well, there's only one way. God sent his son. God sent his son who went to the cross and paid for every single sin through his suffering and who lived a perfect life that could then be credited to our account as though we did it. This is how we are made holy and blameless. It's through faith. And that moment you place your faith in Jesus Christ, you are justified. Your sins are washed away, and Jesus' perfect life is credited to your account so that you can then enter into the presence of God, have fellowship with God. Awesome. Or this, God predestined us for adoption. That God not only has chosen you, but he has adopted you. He has brought you into his family. You are his child. God has redeemed us through the blood of Jesus Christ. You and I were enslaved to sin, but he set us free. He redeemed us out of that through the blood of Christ. God has forgiven us for all of our sin. All of your sin for your whole life was paid for, atoned for at the cross of Jesus Christ. God has sealed us with the Holy Spirit. The third person of the Trinity lives in you. God is in you. God has given God to us as a deposit for the glory that is to come when we see Jesus Christ face to face. God loves you perfectly. He could not love you any more than he does right now. He loves you perfectly. And then this. God has promised to show us the immeasurable riches of his grace. The immeasurable, you can't measure it, riches of his grace, meaning the moment we step into glory and we experience the glory of his grace in a whole new way, it will make our greatest moment of worship in this life look like a drop in an ocean compared to that moment of worship. That's what we have to look forward to. And listen, when our hearts are filled with this truth, we speak the truth. We can't help it. It just flows out of us because our hearts are filled with the truth. Therefore, we speak the truth to each other. But notice this, there's more, because we are to do more than speak the truth. Have a look back at verse 15. Rather, speaking the truth, notice, in, what does it say? Love. Love. That's God's plan for us. It's not that we would just speak the truth, but that we would speak the truth in love. So what does that mean, to speak the truth in love? Well, here's what it means. It means to speak the truth of the Bible for the right reasons. It means to speak the truth of the Bible with right motives. It means to speak the truth of the Bible, not so that we can like act like we're really smart, not so that we can pretend we're super spiritual, not to try to beat people down and condemn them with God's word, but rather, speaking the truth in love means this. It means to speak the truth of the Bible so that others might be strengthened in their faith and others might grow in their relationship with Jesus Christ and others might become more and more like him in character. That's what it means to speak the truth in love. It means to speak the truth of the Bible so that others might be strengthened in their faith and grow in their relationship with Jesus Christ and become more and more like him in character. That's what it means to speak the truth in love. And why is it so important that we do this? Here's why. Because there is nothing more important than for each one of us than to grow in our relationship with Jesus Christ and become more and more like him. Like, that is the most important thing. Nothing is more important than growing in our relationship with Jesus Christ and becoming more and more like him in character. Therefore, we must be all about this. We must be all about speaking the truth of the Bible to each other so that we all might be strengthened in our faith and grow in our relationship with Jesus Christ and become more and more like him in character. Because you and I have not been designed to grow in relationship with Jesus Christ in isolation apart from the body. That is not God's design. God's design is that we grow in relationship with Jesus Christ through the help of the body by speaking the truth in love to one another. As Paul Tripp puts it, our walk with God is a community project. Our walk with God is a community project. By God's design, you and I, we grow best and we grow most in community as we speak the truth in love to each other. Because as we do that, God moves and God works and he grows us up in every way. Have a look back at verse 15. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way. So what does it look like to grow up in every way? Well, he tells us right here, look again at verse 15. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way, notice, into him, who is the head, into Christ. Therefore, as we speak the truth in love to each other, God uses that to grow us up so that more and more our character reflects the character of Christ. I mean, think about it. In every single family, as boys and girls start to grow up, they start to take on the family resemblance, don't they? As children begin to grow up, they begin to look more and more like their relatives. And then people will come up to girls and they'll say, oh, you look so much like Auntie so-and-so. And they'll go to little boys or teenage boys and say, oh, you look so much like Uncle so-and-so. And children and teenagers cringe. I'm like, what? I don't want to look like Uncle so-and-so. That's like the worst thing you could ever say to me. But it's inevitable. As we grow up, we start to take on the family resemblance. Likewise, as you and I speak the truth in love to each other, God uses that. He uses that to grow us up spiritually so that we begin to take on the family resemblance of the character of Jesus Christ, which looks like growing in love for God and growing in love for each other and growing in patience, growing in peace, growing in joy. This is what happens as we speak the truth in love to each other. God uses it. He uses it so profoundly and powerfully to grow us up so that our character more and more resembles the character of Jesus Christ. And therefore, because this is so important, because speaking the truth in love is so very important to our growth in Christ, here's the question, the question. How do we do this well? How do we do this well? Because surely speaking the truth in love is a lot more than just kind of like taking your Bible and going up to someone on a Sunday and opening up to a random verse and just reading it. Or surely it's more than just kind of sitting with someone and they're telling you about what's going on in their life and then you just open up the Bible to a random passage and you just read that. Like surely it's more than that. So how do we speak the truth in love with skill? In a way that is applicable to someone's situation, in a way that is going to help them to be strengthened in their faith and grow in their relationship with Christ and become more and more like him in character. Well, consider what Paul says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 up on the screen. Look what he says. He says, and we urge you, brothers, admonish the idle, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with them all. So notice that Paul does not have a one-size-fits-all approach to ministry. He doesn't have a cookie-cutter approach to people. He's saying, hey, Thessalonians, there's at least three different groups there I see in your church. Here's the first one. There's idle people. They need to be admonished with the word. And then there's faint-hearted people over there. They need to be encouraged with the word. And then there's people that are just, they're weak. They're feeling weak. They need to be helped. And you got to be patient with them all. In other words, if we're going to speak the truth in love and do it well, it means we have to listen to people. It means we have to have open ears. It means we need some patience and we need to sit with people and listen to them so that we can seek to discern what truth would be most fitting to their situation and occasion. Therefore, our guiding principle in speaking the truth in love is Ephesians 4:29. You can look at it on the screen or in your Bible. So Paul says, he says, let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. So growing in speaking the truth in love to each other means growing and speaking the truth in a way that fits the occasion, which is going to require that we listen to people, that we seek to discern what truth from God's word would best fit their situation and occasion. As we think about those four W's, you're sitting there with someone and they're pouring their heart out to you. They're explaining what's going on in their life. And you're sitting there thinking, okay, so what truth should I share? Is it a truth about who God is? Is it a truth about what God has done? Is it a truth about what God has promised? Is it a truth about what God has commanded? What truth best fits this occasion with this person at this time? Because that's what it looks like to speak the truth in love. And listen, no one is perfect at this. No one is perfect at this, which is why we all need to keep growing. And yet, this is supposed to be happening everywhere. This is supposed to be happening everywhere in the church. This is supposed to be happening in marriages. It's supposed to be happening in parenting. It's supposed to be happening in friendships. It's supposed to be happening in groups. It's supposed to be happening everywhere in the church, because this is God's plan for our growth. It's that we would speak the truth in love to each other in a way that fits the occasion. This is God's plan for our growth. So what do we do? What do we do in that moment with that person, pouring their heart out? How do we speak the truth in love? Well, praise the Lord that he has promised to give us wisdom when we ask. Amen? He has promised to give us wisdom when we ask. James chapter 1, verse 5 up on the screen. If any of you lacks wisdom, yes, Lord, me. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him. But let him ask in faith with no doubting. So there we are in that situation. That person's pouring out their heart and you're like, I don't know what to say. What do? We pray. We pray. We say, Lord, help me. Would you help me to discern what truth might be most helpful in this situation? Would you please help me? God, I believe your promise in James chapter 1. I believe you will help me. In Jesus' name, amen. And guess what happens? God helps us. In Proverbs 13 happens up on the screen. The teaching of the wise. We have no wisdom. God has wisdom. The teaching of the wise is a fountain of life, that one may turn away from the snares of death. This is what literally happens when we speak the truth in love to each other. We are both rescued from dangerous places and we grow up in every way. This is what God does as we speak the truth in love to each other. Now imagine being a part of a group where that's happening. Imagine being part of a group where everyone is growing and speaking the truth in love to each other in a way that best fits the occasion. Now that is exciting, because that's where massive growth and transformation is going to be happening. And this is God's plan for you. This is God's plan for me. This is God's plan for our growth. So we have two options. Here's the first option. We can choose to avoid community. We can choose to put ourselves in a situation where we're like isolating and we're not opening up to anyone, and we're not talking to anyone about what's going on in our lives, and we're not giving anyone the opportunity to speak the truth in love to us, and we're not listening really to anyone, and we're not speaking the truth in love to them. And by doing that, we can totally turn away from God's plan for our growth. And we can make ourselves increasingly vulnerable to the lies of sin and the lies of the world and the lies of the demonic and to false teaching. And we can greatly increase our chances of being carried off into dangerous places. We can totally do that. That's one option. It's a terrible option, okay? It's a terrible option. Or there's option number two, where we can embrace God's plan for our growth by choosing to be with the body of Christ and speaking to people about what's going on in our hearts and lives, and having people speak the truth in love to us. And where we're listening to other people and we're speaking the truth in love to them, so that together we can all be strengthened in our faith and grow in our relationship with Christ and become more and more like him in character. Those are the two options. And listen, the second one is awesome. The second one is God's plan. So question, are you in a group right now? Because if you're not, listen, you can be. In some form or another, you can be. All you need to do is go here up on the screen. Hope Church, Toronto West, /small groups. All right, if you go here, you can inquire about how you can get into a group in some form or another, and you will be cared for. Because now, more than ever, now is the time to be with the body of Christ and growing together. Amen? Now is the time. Now is the time. Because if we're going to be used, if our lives are going to be used to produce a ripple effect of blessing across the body of Christ, then each part of the body must keep growing. Every one of us, we must keep growing, and we do that together by speaking the truth in love to each other. But not only that, If our lives are going to be used to produce a ripple effect of blessing across the body of Christ, and here's point number two, every part of the body also needs to keep working. Working. Question, am I working properly? Am I working properly? Let's have a look back at verse 15 again, and we'll read verse 16 in its context. So verse 15 again, Paul says, rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, notice, when each part is working properly. In other words, Jesus Christ has made and he has placed each part of the body exactly where he wants it to be, and now he is commanding, he is calling us to work properly. So what does that mean for each one of us to work properly in the body of Christ? Well, to understand what that means, we have to look all the way back to verse 7. Ephesians 4, verse 7. Look what Paul says. He says, but grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. In other words, if you are in Jesus Christ, then the moment you were saved, you were given a spiritual gift. Everyone who is in the body of Christ, saved in Jesus Christ, has at least one spiritual gift to be used to serve the body of Christ. And maybe thinking, well, what do you mean by spiritual gifts? Well, here's what I mean up on the screen. Here's a few from the New Testament. Prophecy, service, teaching, exhortation, generosity, leadership, mercy, wisdom, knowledge, faith, healing, tongues, helping, administrating. These are some of the gifts that are outlined in the New Testament. And why has God given these gifts to his church? 1 Peter 4 up on the screen. This is talking about us. As each has received a gift, you have received a gift. As each has received a gift, notice, use it. Use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. So as parts of the body, we've been each been given different gifts to be used to serve the body of Christ. So here's a question. How do you know what your gifts are? Well, here's one way of finding out. And maybe it's the best way. You just got to start serving. Because as you start serving, what will happen is that you will naturally begin in some form or another to exercise your giftings. As you start serving in some way or another, you will naturally begin to exercise your gifting. And as you start to exercise your gifts, as the body sees your gifting, the body will affirm your gifting. That's what the body does. When the body sees gifting, the body affirms gifting. And people might say things to you like, hey, I really see that you have the gift of service. Or I really think you've got the gift of teaching. Or I really see that you've got the gift of generosity. Or I really believe you have the gift of leadership. Or I see the gift of mercy in you. Or I think you've got the gift of administration. And when enough people say the same thing to you in the church over and over and over and over and over and over again, chances are that is your spiritual gift. Because when the body sees gifting, the body affirms gifting. So it's not so much about trying really hard to figure out what my gift is so that I can then start serving. It's rather you go start serving and then you learn what your gifts are so that you can exercise them. So if we want to discover our gifts, we need to get into community. We need to just begin serving others. And again, one way that we can do that, one step we can take is just joining a group where people are sharing what's going on in their lives and listening to each other and speaking the truth in love so they can all be strengthened in their faith and grow in their relationship with Christ and become more and more like him in character. And in that group, we can also do this. We can serve one another. We can care for one another. We can help one another. We can look to meet needs. We can be the body of Christ together. This is what it looks like to be working properly. We can also do this. We can serve in the church. There's a lot of needs right now. I asked about needs at Toronto West, and here's what I was told, that there's opportunities to serve for meals for the city ministry, delivering of food to those in need. Volunteers are needed to give the elderly rides to church. There's needs in the production ministry, in the media ministry, on the welcome team. There's needs in the setup teardown team. There's needs on the worship team. There are lots of opportunities to serve right now in the church. All you need to do is go here up on the screen. Hope Church Toronto West, connect. And you can be connected in ways that you can begin serving, like literally right now. This is what it looks like to be working properly. We can think of it like this up on the screen. It's about first understanding who we are. So this is who you are. If you are a Christian, then you are united to Jesus Christ and you are part of the body of Christ. That's who you are. That's your foundational, fundamental identity. You are in Jesus Christ, you are united to him by faith, and you are part of the body of Christ. And now because of who you are, this is what you're being commanded to do. This is what we're all commanded to do up on the screen. We are to speak the truth in love so that others will be strengthened in their faith, grow in their relationship with Christ, and become more like him in character, and we are to serve the body and exercise our gifts. What we do flows out of who we are. If this is who you are, then this is what you are being called to do. This is what it looks like to work properly. So ask yourself, in this season, have you been working properly? Have you been speaking the truth in love and serving the body? Because as each one of us works properly, God causes amazing things to happen. Have a look at verse 16. When each part is working properly, notice, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. So consider this, as you and I work properly by speaking the truth in love and by serving each other and exercising gifts, God will then use our lives to send ripple effects of blessing throughout the body of Christ that causes the body to grow and to build itself up in love. This is God's plan for our growth. And listen, this is why your life and your ministry matters so much to this church right now. Like right now. You are not here by accident. God has saved you. He has put you in the body of Christ. He has gifted you with a spiritual gift, and now he wants to use you. He wants to use your life to literally send ripple effects of blessing throughout this church that causes the body to grow and build itself up in love so that together our lives look more and more like this up on the screen. This is how God wants to use our lives right now. This is how he wants to use your life right now. And listen, we have no idea how God might use any one of us. We have no idea. You might have a conversation this week with someone, and the effects of that one conversation might last for generations. We have no idea, but we do know this. We do know this, that God's plan for building up his church in love is each and every one of us working properly by speaking the truth in love and serving the body and exercising our gifts. This is God's plan for our growth. This is what he is calling us to now, more than ever, for our good, for your good, and for his glory. So Holy Spirit, would you fill us? Holy Spirit, would you lead us? Holy Spirit, would you cause us to work properly? Amen? Amen. Well, let's pray. So Father, we thank you so much for the wonderful, glorious, beautiful, deep ocean of truths of the gospel. You have taken us when we were dead, when we were lost, and you've done everything that was necessary to bring us to God at the greatest cost imaginable, the cross of Jesus Christ. And so here we are, saved in Jesus Christ, with the third person of the Trinity residing inside of us, giving us the desire that our lives would count for your glory. And so, Lord, we've heard today what you are calling us to do. So would you help us, please? Fill us with the desire, please, to worship you in this way, to be connected with the body, speaking the truth in love, to be connected with the body and serving and exercising the gifts that you have given to us as worship to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
For more resources and information about Hope Church Toronto West, please visit hopechurchtw.ca.